Here's the pitch, a swing, and a high fly ball.
Welcome back in to Vern's Royals Bonanza.
Center field, left center, Michael Taylor with the catch. Here's the throw to the plate. It's a good one, and they got him! Michael Taylor with two terrific throws.
Here's your Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
And man, this show has flown by. Thank you very much for listening. As promised, our guest now is Royals president Dayton Moore. And Dayton, I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'm interested in your thoughts. You know, as I look back at 2013, 2015, 2017, it seems to me that you made moves that, yes, those teams needed, but also moves that those teams earned. 2013, you bring in Shields and Wade Davis. You part with Will Myers. I thought that offense earned a bona fide number one with their performance in 2012 and also could help bring along Danny Duffy and Yordano Ventura. In 15, coming off of that pennant, you had Morales and Volquez, and then the deadline moves, and then the moves prior to the trade deadline in 2017 to give Haas and Kane and Moose one last run at it. It appeared to me that when the big moves have been made, the smoke signals from the team the previous season were somewhat apparent. Those teams earned that type of aggression. So with that opinion, what did 2021 tell you? What did they earn as we open the offseason here?
Well, that's I think, Vern, first, that's a great observation. And, you know, when every move that we've made to improve our team, in doing so, you must evaluate certainly the Major League coaching staff, the Major League players, how they are trending, what the attitude is like, the chemistry, what exists, because you want to be able to add players to that roster that blend in well for them to continue to win. But there has to be certainly a strong level of performance and mindset and focus and determination amongst the current group before you do that. And so I think that's a great observation to make. And so to answer your question specifically, it is this group we believe in, and we're going to do everything that we can to continue to support them and supplement what their ultimate goal is, our ultimate goal, and that's to get back to the playoffs and win another world championship. And so as we go into this offseason, we're continuing to evaluate the current landscape. But we also know, Vern, that our key to success is going to be our core group of homegrown players that is ultimately led by Whit Merrifield, Salvador Perez, Hunter Dozier. That core group is going to be the ones that are going to set the tone, and then they're going to be able to, I guess what I would say is lead well and set the right example for the future players, whether it be Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez, Nick Prado perhaps in the future, and many others. And certainly the other group that we have that's already up there, the young guys. And, you know, the young pitching staff, you know, we're really encouraged there, Vern. We're encouraged by, you know, that talent that exists in that rotation, some powerful arms in the back of the pen. We really feel that those guys are just on the cusp of getting more consistent. We saw that in the second half. You know, and then it leads to, again, just being more consistent and staying healthy.
You mentioned the pitching. When you think back to draft night 2018, from the information that you and Lonnie and the rest of the front office had on draft night, which of these young arms has taken the largest step forward?
Well, you know, the one thing I would say as I kind of reflect back is, you know, Lonnie and I sat down together prior to, you know, the 2018, actually it was in the early fall of 2017, and we began to just make an advanced decision that we need to be more of a pitching factory, if you will, and we're going to need to be very intentional with some of the advanced college arms, guys that know how to pitch, pitchers that have an elite secondary pitch, whether it be a slider or a curveball or a changeup. And, you know, we love the changeup, especially in this ballpark. It's a, as you know, it's a very vast outfield. And if you can just keep the ball off the barrel, and the changeup potentially can really, really do that, have a huge effect on disrupting the timing of a hitter. And even if a guy squares it up, but he's out in front a little bit, the ball's going to stay in the yard, and we're going to have guys that can run it down and catch it. And so we wanted to focus on guys that were a little more mature, a little more advanced, some quality secondary pitches. You know, they all throw hard today, Vern, as we know. And but we want guys that, you know, have more of a feel to pitch. And so we were very intentional about evaluating, drafting, and signing the advanced college pitcher, and those that had pitched at a high level as well and pitched in some of the best competition that their peer group had to offer. And so we were very intentional about that. We didn't think Brady Singer was going to get to us. You know, we thought he would go probably somewhere anywhere from, you know, 5 to 12 or something like that, and he ended up falling to us. And he's an elite competitor, as is Chris Bubich, an elite competitor. You know, Jackson Coar and Daniel Lynch were two guys that weren't as high profile. I mean, they were still very well known, but nobody really expected them to potentially, you know, go in the first round. But you know, they've got you know, elite pitches. Daniel Lynch really came on strong. We had a good relationship with him out of high school. He didn't get out of the gate real fast in 2018, but I remember Rene Francisco went in and saw him after we hadn't seen him too good in March and early February and March, and Rene was in there, I believe, early in April, and happened to be speaking to him and kind of just sharing, you know, what he'd been seeing in the draft, and he really, really kind of pounded the table for Daniel Lynch and said, you know, well, I think we're light on this guy, and we began to scout him a little more heavily. Of course, Lonnie being who he is, even though we weren't seeing him real good out of the gate, Lonnie already knew that this was a guy that we were going to stay on all the way to the end because of our relationship and the evaluation coming out of high school. And so I really credit Lonnie and Renee for just you know, their experience and their wisdom in evaluating you know, pitchers and knowing the draft.
When I think back to the pennant-winning ball clubs, you guys had the ability to bully the opposition with that bullpen. The moment the game started, the opposition knew, we fall behind 1-0. We have 3, maybe 4 innings to get that lead back or this game's over. I think that was well known around Major League Baseball. As we talk about this young starting pitching, is the hope that it can serve as the bully for the next pennant-winning Royals ball club?
Well, we believe that the strength of every winning championship caliber team begins and ends, you know, with starting pitching. We've always felt that way. And so we have the makings of a very strong and consistent innings-eating rotation. And guys that are highly competitive, they learn from one another. They trust Mike Matheny. They trust Cal Eldred. And so there's a belief there, even though that they've went through, you know, some struggles. And Vern, let's face it, that's a good thing. And it's a good thing in the sense that they're learning from their failures. But the other part of that is they're leaning on each other, and they realize they need each other to get through some of the challenging times. And so it's a very healthy thing when young players and young pitchers struggle, as long as they handle it appropriately, and this group certainly is. And so we do believe that they are going to you know, be the anchor, if you will. That being said, the bullpen gets a lot better when you have consistent starting pitching, and there's a rhythm to the game when you have consistent starting pitching. And that's why it was so important to bring Salvador Perez back and to make sure that he's a part of our future. Because when you're breaking young pitching into the major leagues, you don't want to necessarily have to do that with a young catcher as well. Now, there's a lot of reasons we wanted to bring Salvi back. But, you know, we were talking about this the other day when it came out that Buster Posey was retiring, and you know, Salvador and Buster were going to be free agents this year. As we looked into our crystal ball, you know, this time last year, and knowing that there would be a bidding war for both, and the two best catchers on the market. And, you know, we just were very aggressive, and we knew we needed to get Salvi back. And I'm so thankful that we did for many, many reasons that, you know, we can talk about later if you wish.
Yeah, we can get to one of them right now as we're joined by Royals president Dayton Moore on 610 Sports Radio. There's so many things that impressed me about Salvi throughout his career. But listening to him tell the story of last offseason, the lessons he tried to teach Carlos Hernandez about taking care of your body now at the age of 24 so you can continue to be successful at the age of 34. I don't know if those two are working together again this offseason, but speaking of the offseason, I'm wondering how much things similar to that, communication between an organization and a young player throughout the offseason, how much that has really changed and evolved over your 15-plus years here in Kansas City?
Well, I think that we've always had communication with our players in the off season. It's always been important to us. But I think, you know, now, Vern, I think there's more information that the players require. They want more feedback. They want details of that feedback. You know, when we first started in this position, and even when I was a player development director, I mean, a lot of the conversations were more just really on a personal level, and how you doing, how's your off-season workouts going, anything we can help you with, just making sure, just kind of a general wellness check, if you will. And now, you know, we've got graphics and Zoom and face-to-face and presentations that we make for each player. I mean, we literally put together presentations for each player so they understand all aspects of their development personally, professionally, and very detailed. And so that's how it's changed. And you know, we're always fighting for credibility because and trust, because and the only way you earn that is by communication, admitting your mistakes, developing a relationship with the player. But the reason it's so critical is because players today, they want that information. They're requiring feedback, and if you don't give it to them, they're going to look elsewhere for it. They're, you know, they're going to go to different academies or past coaches or other people in the industry that are marketing themselves as the next guru, if you will. And you know, we've seen a lot of that through our time, and we've always had to fight that a little bit. And a lot of the people that used to have a huge, huge voice in this game, and they were the next best thing, they've kind of, you know, withered away, almost like you know, just faded away. They had a loud voice at one time, and people jumped on the bandwagon, and now they're, you know, that people realize, you know, the game's not that easy, and there's no magic pill or a magic formula that's all of a sudden going to make you a player. But again, if we can establish trust through our relationship, through gaining trust, and then through the information that we provide working with the player, you know, I think we've got a better chance to create that harmony that we so desire in our teams. And certainly we feel that you must have harmony and chemistry and togetherness if we're going to win.
Dayton, I mentioned Carlos Hernandez. He surprised a lot of Royals fans. I mean, he surprised me too. I knew the kid had the body type and the stuff, but for him to put it together like he did in the second half of the season, yeah, I got to admit, I was blown away, thoroughly impressed by the young man. What stood out to you about his season?
Well, you know, he's always had a terrific arm, as you know, you know, we signed him for $15,000 internationally. What we saw in him was just a big, strong guy with a good working arm, not much field to pitch. And there's a lot of guys like that out there. And then so as he began to develop and mature, we knew it was very clear we needed to put him on the roster. And by the way, he was 19 when we signed him. As you know, Vert, a lot of these kids are on the radar at 14 and 15, and they're signed at 16. I mean, he was a late bloomer. And I think that's a good thing because he wasn't overused. He wasn't somebody that everybody was trying to connect with and gain from the individual's success, if you will. And, you know, I think we were probably fortunate that he was a late bloomer. And then so just watching him develop through our system, and you know, he had some bouts of health a little bit where he was battling some general soreness and some adaptation things that his arm was experiencing. And so, but it really at the alternate site last year, I mean, just watching him and getting the feedback, I mean, there was a guy that was starting to command his pitches, control his delivery, and repeat better. I felt that at worst he was going to be a power arm in the bullpen. I think that's how we all felt. But then watching him start out there, we said, you know what, this guy might be able to start. And sure enough, you know, he did an amazing job for us, and, you know, we just feel that he's just got such a bright future.
No question. Royals president Dayton Moore, a few more minutes. I want to move to the offense. Just a couple of questions. The shortstop conversation is obviously the headline conversation for sports radio. Spring training's going to take care of all that. I'm interested, though, if you would, solely from a scouting perspective, how do you prioritize a shortstop's attributes?
As you know, I'm very passionate about scouting and evaluating players, especially young players. And I remember when I first saw Alberto Mondesi, for example, you know, when he was 15 years old, and Renee saw him, I believe, when he was 14. But when I first saw him, what I saw was a developing body, very rangy. He was alive. You know, with his actions, his arm worked extremely well. It was a little below average, but you could tell that it was going to be plus someday. His feet were very good, even though he was kind of a rangy, taller type person. His feet worked very well. They were quick. They were agile. And so you could tell that he was going to stay at shortstop. And that's very rare. You know, when we first saw Elvis Andrews, I wasn't sure Elvis was going to stay at shortstop. And the reason his hands were good enough, his arm was probably going to be good enough, his feet were okay. I just thought he was going to get a little wider, a little thicker in the legs where it might hurt his range. That didn't happen. I mean, he controlled how his body developed the best he could, and through, you know, proper nutrition and exercise and doing the things that you need to do to play that position. But, you know, the primary tools there at shortstop are field, throw, and you like guys that can run. Now, you can look at the game being so offensive today, and you can say that maybe the hit or the power tool is more important than the run tool. But the reason I've always felt the run tool was important is because it is simply a predictor of range and quickness and first step quickness, and that's really important, you know, for that position. You've got to be able to throw the ball on different angles. You've got to be able to throw on the run. You've got to be able to backhand the ball, you know, to your right, and you've got to be able to turn the ball over with conviction, the double play with conviction. But most importantly, you can evaluate all those tools. You want guys that can execute the plays with the game on the line. A runner on third and two outs, a leadoff hitter late in the game. And that's why, you know, Alcides Escobar was so good. Very fundamentally sound, but very sure, accurate arm. But I can't recall many a day where he didn't make a play when he had to make it and when the game was on the line. And so I think there's a steadiness to that position that's so required as well. But it's a fascinating debate about the three shortstops that we have, whether it be Alberto Mondesi, Nicky Lopez, Bobby Witt Jr. What I can tell you, Vern, is all three of them, we believe, are gifted enough to play short, and all three, we believe, are gifted and talented enough to hit somewhere in the top or the middle of our order, and we'll figure out where to play them all.
Dayton, staying with Mondesi real quick, I got a question about Andrew Benintendi. But Adalberto Mondesi, I find him endlessly intriguing, not just because of his talent, but the individual and his story. And I know I've done a poor job of telling his story, sharing his story. I'm wondering if there's an aspect of the young man that you've known for so long that the average fan may not know.
Well, he's a very tender-hearted person. He cares about people. He's quiet. He doesn't necessarily love kind of, you know, being out there. He's a little shy, which I believe makes him even more appealing and more inviting. He cares deeply about playing this game. He cares deeply about his teammates. And, you know, the fact that he hasn't been able to stay healthy is damaged his soul a little bit. You know, just because, you know, he wants to play so badly. And that's why it's so important that we just continue to support him. And because once he, you know, Lorenzo Cain had a lot of the same, you know, ups and downs physically, as has other players, you know, in this game. But once they figure out the proper rhythm and what their body needs and how to manage, you know, the day-to-day strain on the body and the stresses on this body that this game presents, you know, he's gonna come out of this really, really well. I think we're starting to figure things out much better. He's doing a great job this off season. He's, you know, it's never been about work with him though, Vern. I mean, he's always done what needs to be done and then some. You know, so it's just he's just like I said, he's a special person. He's a very tender-hearted person. Cares about people and he wants to win here, and it's important to him to play this game.
And then with Andrew Benintendi, a guy that helped protect Salvador Perez for a majority of the second half of the season, he enters the final year of team control. I'm wondering how comfortable is the team with that and how comfortable is Andrew in your conversations?
He's been a joy to watch play. I love watching players like him. He's very controlled. His at-bats are very consistent. He's very sure in the field. He has base running skills. He has instincts to play. Very steady. A professional hitter. And every championship club has two or three guys like him in the lineup. They can battle a good pitcher. They have a very consistent approach, as I mentioned. And so, you know, we've just been really, really pleased with him. And, you know, we worked very hard to try to acquire him in years past. And I'm just very thankful that we were able to get him over here last year. And we love watching him play, and he's an important part of our team.
You don't get a sense of nervousness as the season approaches on one side or the other about the uncertainty of his future in Kansas City?
No, I don't, just because I think the way, you know, he's very mature. He's always been a high-profile player. Yeah. There's no panic in Benny. You know, you're talking about a guy who's performed at the highest level in the biggest markets, and you know, he knows what he wants in this game. It's not about money. He wants to win, and he wants to be in a place where he's really appreciated, and you know, he can go out and do what he loves to do, and that's play baseball. And we have a strong feeling for him. We have an appreciation for him, and above all, we all enjoy watching him play baseball, and he's a winning championship-caliber baseball player.
Yeah, no question. Royals president Dayton Moore, kind enough to join us here on 610 Sports Radio. Dayton, always grateful for the time, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Vern.
There you go. Thank you very much. Dayton Moore, Royals president here on Vern's Royals Bonanza. We've heard from Dayton Moore, J.J. Piccolo, John Sherman, Ryan LaFever, Nicky Lopez, Whit Merrifield. You'll be able to listen to all of the interviews in their entirety at the Odyssey app. Just search out Vern on Baseball, my podcast, Vern on Baseball. We'll wrap this bad boy up after this.
You're listening to Vern's Royals Bonanza.
Cranks one to deep center. Back goes Miles Straw. Away back and gone. Perez.
On your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.